Right, today I am moving on with this series about making room. This idea that I've been developing over the past several weeks of what it means for us to be people who make room in our lives and how that works for us. And we've talked about this in several ways, and you know what? I'm repeating this every week, and I'm going to keep repeating it because this is one of those things that I want drilled into our heads, that we just know what it means for us to be a part of this church when we talk about something like making room. So we've talked about it in three categories, right? That we make room to listen and respond to the Holy Spirit. The last several weeks, that's what I've been talking about. What it looks like to be people who listen and respond to the Holy Spirit. That we are people who make room in our lives to cultivate relationships with other people. And we're still working towards that one, what it looks like to be people that cultivate relationships with one another. And thirdly, that we make room in our lives to nurture the well-being of our community. We're still getting up to talking more about that one too. That we are gifted to serve where God has called us to be in life. That we nurture our community for its well-being. We make room for those things in our lives because we're busy people and we live in a busy world and we have a busy society, and so quickly all the room in our lives are filled up. Filled. Just full. There is a cable TV show, and I don't watch a lot of cable TV, but I've heard of this cable TV show that's about extreme hoarders and what it looks like to be full of things. So on Google, I found just a snapshot of one of the episodes of this show that shows something of what just the regular living space in someone's home looks like when it's full of stuff, possessions, all these things that gather in. And you know what? I mean, before you get a little too hard on this one, I mean, some of us have houses where we've, built a bigger garage so that it doesn't look like this, or added more closets so that it doesn't look like this. That we are people too that have this tendency to just gather things and build that up, and things that sort of in some ways begin to overwhelm us when it piles up to that kind of extreme. And then we face that time where maybe the only thing that we have left to do is this word that we have in English, right? Declutter. I'm not sure if that's a word that we had to create for our time in our culture, but it certainly applies to us. This idea of decluttering, that at some point I look around and say, I just have to declutter because there's so much and I can't make any room any other way. So we've been talking about all these ways that we make room in our lives for listening and responding to the Spirit, for relationships, for nurturing the well-being of our community. And at some point, maybe we'd have to say, you know what, how can I make room for these things? I feel so full already. All right, let's take a step back then and just consider a little bit of decluttering. What it looks like to declutter, not just in the sense of material possessions, right? It's not just, all right, I'm going to have a garage sale now. Not just that, but declutter my life. To declutter my soul just a little bit. Because when these things connect, and at some point as I talk about these things over and over, there's that little spark in that that says, yeah, I want to be that. I want to be that kind of person. I want to be a disciple like that. My life is just so crowded, though. And maybe I just need a little decluttering to get there. So let's consider that one today. And I'm going to be using a passage that comes from the Gospel of Matthew. And this is a section in Matthew's Gospel that's known as the Sermon on the Mount. It's an extended section of teachings of Jesus all put together. And it has a little something to do with decluttering of our lives and our souls, all right? So this is Matthew chapter 6. I'm going to read beginning at verse 19. Before I do that, let's pray together. God, we open your word here today. And Lord, we acknowledge that these are your words spoken by Jesus. And God, we pray that as we read these words here today, which you spoke so long ago, may they be just as real and relevant for us today as they were back then and will always be. I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, Matthew chapter 6, I'm going to begin at verse 19, and then at the very end, I'm just going to tack on one verse from the book of James. That comes later, okay? Here's what Jesus says. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. And then one more verse that comes from James chapter 1 says this, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Not just hearing the word, but doing the word. That these teachings of Jesus are, it's not just information to be received. It's not just something to nod your head in agreement and say, yep, I get it, I understand, I agree. But there's something to be done here. Something that comes our way that shows up in who we are and in how we live and what it looks like. So let's talk about and let's think about what that decluttered life, a decluttered soul looks like. Because in some ways, doesn't that sound so refreshing? Doesn't it sound so good to say, that's what I want? I would love to have a life and a soul that feels decluttered. Not weighed down and bogged down by all the things that come into our lives and fill us and weigh us down like that. So let's give a little thought towards that today. What that might look like in that decluttering. So let's think about it in a few categories, okay? So categories that help us think about this idea of hoarding, right? The big piles that show up there. And I sort of nodded towards one already, hoarding of material things. That when we hoard material things, that there's no space in our lives for any additional possessions. As you think about that, right? That people who hoard and hold on to all these material things, that you run out of room for any additional possessions. And what that means then, think of the effects. Think of the effects of where that goes, because at some point then it affects my ability to be generous. That if everything's about getting and hanging on to, then there's also no room in my life for giving and letting go of and making room for that to happen. That's just one example, though, right? I think we can take this idea of hoarding and we can push this in a few further directions and in ways that, all right, if we're going to be honest, we find these things intersecting into our own lives as well. There's more than one way to think about it. Think also about maybe, I'll just call it this, calendar hoarding. My life is full of activities, full of events. For the past 2 years, I've been on a committee here with 8 people, so 7 people plus myself, and we had the noble goal of trying to meet monthly. Coordinating 8 calendars to find a space to meet monthly felt almost impossible. I mean, we did find spaces to do that, but it was incredible how much we had to shoehorn some of these things into where some of our meetings were online on Zoom at 6:30 in the morning, because that was the one coordinated space that worked for everyone to do it. And I don't mean to throw shade at the other 7. I'm as much a part of that. That's me too, right? A life that's full in that sense. But think about when we fill our lives so full with activities, and how many of these activities, when I think it through in my life, are the activities that I want, right? Here's what I want to do. So I'm going to fill my calendar of events of all the things that I want to do, and then there's no room in the schedule for other activities. No space for other activities, any additional activities, and in particular, no room for activities that maybe others want, that others would invite or invite me to be a part of. And when those invitations come, I think, I don't have space. I've already filled it up. I'm hoarding my calendar, my time, filling my life so cluttered full of all the activities that I could do before me. So that's another example of perhaps hoarding clutter in that sense. Let me bring one more. I'm going to call this one relationship hoarding. That I've got a full social circle. I've got my friends, I've got my family, I've got my people around me. I've got the relationships that fill my life, and there's not room for any more. There's no other space in that social circle for any additional friendships or relationships. I think I have to be a little careful with this one, right? That I'm not saying thin out your relationships. Don't go to a friend tomorrow and say, "Pastor told me I have too many friends and you got the short straw, so bye." I'm not saying that, okay? That we are people who are blessed by the relationships that we have. What I am thinking through, though, is when I allow all of my relationship circle to be monopolized in such a way that maybe someone who needs relationship, I've got no space for it. There's no room for anything additional that way. So think about it, right? Maybe we are not the kind of hoarders that you would see on a cable TV show. But I think, end of the day, we can all identify some categories in our lives where we would say, there's some hoarding taking place here, right? There are things going on that are taking up space and filling my life to a point where it's cluttered. That our lives are cluttered and full. And some decluttering would sure help to make some room for some of these ideas that we've been talking about. Listening and responding to the Spirit, cultivating new relationships with other people, nurturing the well-being of our community around us. Those things sound so good to have some room in my life for, and maybe I just need to do some of the hard work of decluttering what's getting in the way of that, making some room to get those things out of the way so that we can be people then who do have room in our lives for all those activities and things of discipleship that we long for so much, that it looks for us in ways that show us how to become people like that. That's what Jesus is after in this passage, I think, that he's talking about in this particular section of teachings in the Sermon on the Mount. I mean, he draws attention to some specific examples in there, right? He says things like, you cannot serve two masters, you cannot love both God and money, but let's pull a wider view of that. In particular, you know what, there's one section in the middle of this teaching that I've always scratched my head at a little bit and thought, I'm not quite sure I understand what Jesus is after throwing this into the middle of it. But we see here that comes in verses 22 and 23. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? All right. What is Jesus talking about here? I mean, he's talking about cluttered lives and that kind of a thing, and then he goes into this thing about physical health of your eyes and having good eyesight. Is that what he's after? No, there's more going on here. And I think to dig into this one, I'm actually going to have to give you a little bit of the original Greek that goes here, because there's a word play here that runs in so many different directions. It's the word aptos, which comes to us in this verse as being healthy. If your eyes are healthy, aptos. If you grabbed one of the extra sermon notes, you'll see that in the passage, I actually swapped out to put the Greek word in there in what's printed in your notes. So what does that word mean, besides healthy? Well, one of the possibilities that comes in Scripture is that sometimes it's translated as generous, something that gives, but most often this word, in the New Testament anyway, is translated as single or simple, or being of a singular purpose. Or, can I just substitute in the word that we're talking about today? Decluttered? If your eyes are decluttered, get all the stuff out of the way that's blocking the vision. Get all the things out of the way that are taking over so that I can't see the light of the gospel. Getting in the way of that. That Jesus is playing around with this word that carries so much nuance and so much other meaning. In talking about that, it opens up for us then this understanding of, yeah, I think I get what he's talking about here. The clutter. All the things that pile up and get in the way so that I can't see the light of the gospel. I'm blocking it out by where I'm putting all these other things around in my life. That singular purpose is gone. But if your eyes are unhealthy, all right, that's a different Greek word, poneros. And that one, I mean, most times in the New Testament, it just means bad. Just simply translated as bad. But bad in a particular way. You'll see the words that go with it, because it also shows up having the connotation of being vicious or hostile, or corrupted. A particular kind of bad, that darkness. That when we allow our lives to become cluttered with the viciousness of all that's corrupted in our world, then it blocks out the light of the singular purpose and the focus. Because the truth I think that Jesus is after here is that he's saying to us, you know what? I cannot be a person of singular purpose if I allow my life to be cluttered by corrupting allegiances. Right? I cannot be a person of singular purpose, if I allow my life to be cluttered by corrupting allegiances. I think about how that takes shape and where that comes in my life, what those corrupting allegiances might be. You know what, and maybe as you're thinking this one through, right, as I'm putting this one out there, maybe something comes to mind immediately in your own life. Maybe you've got it nailed down right now. I know what the Holy Spirit's saying to me today. I know what the Holy Spirit is revealing as that clutter in my life that is blocking the singular focus of being a disciple of God. Maybe you know what that is. Maybe that's evident. Maybe you're still churning that one around, though. Maybe you're thinking, all right, how do I know? How do I identify? Where's the step that takes this one? And all right, let's turn this one now. Let's do some practical application, right? Let's make this something that's real. How do I identify and know what that clutter is? Where do I even begin to know and to name and to list? Here's what clutter, spiritual clutter, looks like. Here's what clutter in my soul looks like. I think Jesus gives us a few clues towards that too. Gives us a clue when he says, moving on to the next section, starts in verse 25, therefore I tell you, don't worry about your life. Don't worry about your life. Clutter that affects our souls comes attached with worry. Let's spend a minute thinking about that, right? Worry and what comes in that. Now, in this section of the passage that we read, Jesus gives quite a few real life examples to his immediate audience, right? He talks about don't worry about your food and what you're going to eat. Don't worry about your clothes and what you're going to wear. Let's back up for a minute and let's remember some context. That Jesus, during that time, is living in a society that is very much day-to-day for those kinds of provisions. They didn't have refrigerators. They didn't have grocery stores full of canned goods and that kind of thing. No freezers for that. It only took one bad hailstorm to wipe out the crop, or one season of drought, or one infestation of locusts and bugs, and the crop is gone and the food is not there. That's the society they lived in. And so that was a very real worry of, am I going to have enough food or will I starve to death? Now, to be fair, we know there are plenty of people, even here in Granville, who are food insecure. We know that because we run a food pantry here where we serve and try to help people like that. We know that because we put together here every month how many loads of Backpack Buddy meals that we send off to the elementary school. We know that there are people who are needing food. But here's what we also know. The supply is here. That even for those who are food insecure and find themselves going hungry, there's resources. And we try to connect and make those resources available, but there are resources. The food is here. Maybe different than the time Jesus is talking to, where people found themselves in a situation where there simply was no food in all of that. All right, why am I making a big deal out of that? I think for that part of this passage to really come in and hit home, we've got to move past that and think about, all right then, what are the things in our lives that cause us the kind of anxiety and stress that food and clothing would have caused for the people in the immediate context of Jesus' audience back then? We've got to do a little bit of work towards that, of maybe trying to identify, what are those worries that I have, right? What are those anxieties, those worries that I allow to endlessly fill my anxieties? Because here's the truth of it, because I've had these conversations, and you know what? I can be a person like this too every now and then. I've heard the stories coming from some of you, right? It was 4 a.m, I tossed over, I woke up, and then for whatever reason, this thing popped in my head, and it wouldn't get out, and I didn't fall back asleep, and I spent the whole rest of the night just worrying about this thing, and I lost sleep because of it. Yeah, it's us, right? That we are people who also experience worries and anxiety. So I think for this one to really kind of come to that point of application for us, right, something practical, we got to do a little digging. Got to begin thinking, what is that for you? What is that for us? What are those things that when I toss in the middle of the night and then it's in my head and I can't go back to sleep, what is it? What are those things, those worries? And that, again, may look different for each one of us, but do a little digging into that. For some of us, maybe the anxieties and the worries revolve around family, friends, loved ones, that I'm trying to care for children who maybe have special needs or have struggles in some way, or I'm caring for a spouse or an aging parent who has these special needs, and it feels like I'm trying to do so much, and it's just causing me stress and anxiety and worry in that. Maybe for some it has to do with job and career and how things are going at work and it's not going well and where's the next step go, and that just turns over in my mind again and again and again and again, and I can't let go of it. Maybe, all right, put it in the world of maybe students in school. It's who are my friends, who are not my friends, and I've got my group, but then there's this other group, and I don't know that they like me or they're mean to me, but I feel like I'm pressured in the group that I'm in that somehow maybe I have to be mean to them, and it just doesn't feel right, and I worry. Who's my group and who's not, and who gets along with me and who doesn't? Or we worry maybe about things like retirement savings. Do I have enough? Will there be enough for me to live off of? What happens with the stock market? And how am I going to be able to provide for future years? Or maybe the worry here is one of divisions that we see in our world and in our society. We spend time maybe circling around with this sense of dread that if the candidate we don't like is elected, that everything in society will fall apart, and I could split this room down the middle with who that candidate would be. But we worry about it. We have anxiety over these things. It's clutter. Now, that's not to say you ignore it, right? I mean, when Jesus says, don't worry about what you're going to eat, that doesn't mean, you know what, let's just get rid of farms and stop growing crops. There's still a place to do the responsible thing of being involved, right? We still care for our loved ones, our family, our friends. We don't cash out the IRA and just spend it all. We still plan for the future. We still are active, involved citizens in our society in which we have the privilege to be voting citizens. We still do these things. We don't just push them aside, but at what point do they become clutter, spiritual clutter, clutter on my soul, instead of just those necessary things that are a part of life that go along with it? Those things come up to us then in ways that maybe give us a little pause around that. When those are worries that, in some sense, become kingdom allegiances, then it's clutter. Kingdom allegiances. I ended this reading that we did in Matthew with what he says towards the end there. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these other things. They'll be taken care of. But seek first the kingdom, and I think the piece that draws us in today is, all right, when some of these anxieties and these worries become such clutter in my life that those become the kingdom allegiances that my life clings to and revolves around, that's clutter. That's the poneros, right? The bad, the unhealthy, the thing that's corrupted around the soul that God has redeemed and given for us to follow him in discipleship. Those are the things to let go of. When it becomes kingdom allegiances, So we are people then who make room. We are people who make room in our lives. And maybe a step that we consider here today, the thought for today about making room, is a thought about decluttering, right? That it's on me today to declutter my soul of all that gets in the way of this one singular focus, the aptos of the passage there. To have a life that is being renewed by the Holy Spirit into the image of Christ. That's the singular focus. Right? All those things we talk about making room, listening and responding to the Spirit, cultivating relationships with people, nurturing the well-being of our community, all of those things funnel to a singular focus of a life that is being renewed by the Holy Spirit into the image of Christ. And I think God gives us a little homework to do there, to declutter. Declutter what gets in the way of that. Declutter our lives so that we can follow that purpose that God has given for us. So that we can be people then who truly understand and embrace when Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all this other stuff. It'll be provided. It'll be given. That we can be people who live decluttered lives in that. Let's pray together. God, thank you for the gift of your word. And Lord, we have to acknowledge when we read this one through and we think about this one that there is clutter in our lives. So I pray today for each one of us as we think about that, think about what that means, that we would do that in ways that allow us to let go. So whatever it is that we're holding on to, whatever it is that's cluttering our souls, Lord, help us to let go of it as being a kingdom allegiance, so that instead, by your Holy Spirit, we may be renewed more and more into your image to be the people you've called us to be. And God, may we do that then in ways that bring us freedom and joy and hope. May we do that in ways that bear spiritual fruit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. May all of that be evidence, not of what we're doing, but of what you have done and continue to do through us. I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.